Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Welcome to the Pro Basketball Talk podcast. I'm Dan Feldman with Kurt Heelan. We're wrapping up the 2022 NBA draft, and it feels like days ago now with all the action of the draft. The Magic took Paolo Banchero number one in a pick that nobody outside of the gamblers in Las Vegas saw coming. And then after we were told it's not coming, not even the gamblers in Las Vegas saw it coming, but apparently they did see it coming. How surprised were you that Banchero went number one? And perhaps more importantly, why did the Magic do this? Why did they, disguise so much their pick, have everybody believing it would be Jabari Smith with that top pick? What was the point of this?
First off, I was pretty impressed with the level of deception in smokescreen that they were able to pull that off the full-time draft followers, people from other teams who were, consulting, like everybody, I think, everybody thought it was, including, a definitive Adrian Wojnarowski tweet earlier in the day, like everybody thought it was going to be Jabari Smith. They did. It is an impressive smokescreen. The why is a really good question that I get why you want to disguise what you're doing at maybe at number two or three, right? But hey, you got the first pick. Like, if you want Banchero, nobody's stopping you from getting Banchero. Like, I'm not quite sure what the motivation for deception is there. Because they don't have another, they didn't have like pick four, pick six. You know, like they had two high picks. Can you discern the motivation there?
Maybe to try and tempt a trade. If there's a team that wants Smith, if you think there's more demand there, I don't know. The best I can gather is they want to operate secretively, just in principle. This is just how they want to be. And maybe took a little bit of pride in duping everybody, and that was it. Maybe even a test run for when it does matter. Can they keep things secret? Do they have leaks? A lot of teams want to operate this way and can't. The Magic showed they can.
Yeah. And by the way, do you think they got the best player?
I do not. One last thing on the secrecy. This was the organization under previous management that posted of like their trade board or a free agency board, their targets. Quite a different regime now. No, I did not think Paolo Banchero was the best player. I have my draft board posted at Pro Basketball Talk on the website. I had Banchero third on my board. I had Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren both in the top tier, which means you could take either one depending on fit. And I came very close to Banchero cracking that top tier, but I just didn't quite think he was on the level as a prospect of those other two. But I do think if you did have him there, there's a good case he would be the best fit on the Magic among those three.
I think he does. I would argue he has the highest floor of those three, and maybe that's what they were thinking, because he's going to walk in the door and be able to score. He can shoot the ball from the outside. We saw it at Duke. Like, he's got an NBA body. He can score at three levels. Like, there's questions about his game, but I don't question that he is going to be an effective NBA player and just being able to put up points. I don't know that he has the high end potential of like you said. I would have taken Smith. I'm a little leery on Holmgren. And part of that's just, I'm not quite sure what he looks like, you know, like not what he looks like, but what he, I'm sometimes untrustworthy of guys who don't fit an archetype, who don't fit a style. And I'm not sure where he goes, but I don't know. I guess maybe this was the high floor pick. I do agree though, that with the way this roster is built out and having Jonathan Isaac, Cole Anthony, Franz Wagner, they're a big, long team. They are a tall team. And they needed some offensive scoring punch. And Banchero's the one guy. Smith, again, may be better at this in a few years, but Banchero can walk in the door and put up points.
Yes, yes. And it's the creation as a passer, too. Yeah. You know, all these long, maybe leaning toward defense guys, he definitely adds an element there where I don't think Jabari Smith has that shot creation. You know, that's what separates Banchero is he can create shots for himself, create shots for others. I think you're a little bit higher on his shooting than I am. That can develop, that can come around. I'm just not quite as convinced that that's something you can take for granted with him. Jabari Smith has that shooting, but he needs a little more help to be set up. And so I do think the fit is better. What worries me about Banchero is mainly defensively. He was so passive at Duke. Maybe his effort will be better in the NBA. Maybe that environment wasn't conducive to getting the best out of him. It seems like he should be a better defender as an athlete, but I didn't even see flashes from him defensively. So it's going to be on some of these teammates, these long teammates that you just mentioned, maybe to cover for him. I think he's going to have to play with a center. I think it's just going to be too damaging defensively to put him at center, even though it could be some real special things if he could be your center offensively. Maybe this means Mo Bamba is coming back. He's going to be a free agent, probably restricted for Orlando. They have Wendell Carter. Like they're a team that he fits in fine with. I just wouldn't be so concerned about fit. If you wanted to say Banchero was the best player in this draft, and that's why you took him, the best prospect in this draft, that's fine. I slightly disagree, but I can see that. I do have a slight concern that the Magic overemphasized fit.
I agree. By the way, we'll see how much Bamba is around. I got a feeling Carter is their five that they're going to lean on in the future. We'll see what direction they end up going. By the way, with Holmgren, I think you and I and everyone kind of agree, Oklahoma City was the best fit for him, right? Like, that's a place he can be without pressure. He gets to play with Shai Gilgeous and Alexander, and who can help. He takes some of the shot creation, ball handling pressure. He doesn't have to walk in the door and create a bunch of shots, which is not something he'd had to do at Gonzaga either, a lot of. There's not pressure on that team to win in the next year or two, and it gives him a chance to develop.
Yeah, I don't see much pressure on the Magic to win quickly or the Rockets to win quickly. So I'm not sure if it matters much there. Yeah. You know, I think he's going to be who he's going to be in all of those. So if you were the Thunder, would you have taken Chet or Jabari Smith number two after the surprise with Banchero?
That's a good question. I've always been a little higher on Jabari.
Yeah, me too.
Just slightly. And so I probably would have done that. But clearly, Presti had Holmgren on top of his board, because I'm going to assume Banchero wasn't there, and took him. And Presti's been right a lot, so I'm willing to cut. You know, that we'll give him that benefit of the doubt. I think their development program could be good for him, and that's an interesting team. Coming together, but that was the start of the surprises. I would not Holmgren, but Banchero going first was the start of the surprises. But the next surprises to me were that there weren't moves at 4 and 7.
Yeah, so the Thunder had 3 first round picks. In addition to getting Holmgren, they also got Usman Jang in a trade with the Knicks that I want to talk more about in a little bit. They also got Jalen Williams, not to be confused with Jalen Williams, who they drafted in the second round. 2 Jalen Williams, different spellings on Jalen. That's going to be fun in Oklahoma City. And that leaves Jabari Smith, number 3, to the Rockets. I think it's an easier fit. The Rockets have that shot creation on the perimeter and Jalen Green, who came on at the end of the year. They have some creation ability from Alperen Şengün on the interior, and Jabari Smith can fit right between them.
Yeah, and I no, I'm with you. I think that he walks in and gives them a little defense, gives them a guy who can shoot the rock. And again, I think it's a pretty good fit there.
So after those top three, that was generally the consensus top three. Real interesting decision by the Kings. And we can talk about this pick. We can go some different directions. But here's the question I do want to ask you. We spend all this time leading up to the draft, ranking players, ranking prospects. Again, my tiered draft board is on the website. You can probably look at that and look at what slot each player went and get a good idea of what I thought of each pick. But one thing I'm always curious about in the draft, who is a good fit? Who is a bad fit? Sometimes it works out that I think generally, this is why I have the tier system, is to allow a little bit of leeway, but generally teams should take the best prospect available. Drafting is so hard. Take the player who you think is best and then try to make it work. If you're leaning too much on fit, that's where you're going to run into problems. But once you do that, some guys do fit better than others. So I'm curious, who stands out to you in this draft as particularly good fits on their new team? I had five. I really thought this was a draft where there were a lot of players who ended up in places where they're good fits. But who stood out to you in that regard?
We'll start off with Ivy. That he fell to the Pistons at five, I think is just a boon for Detroit. Now you've got Jalen Ivey and Cade Cunningham as potentially your backcourt of the future for the next 10 years. Cunningham is a, it's not like he's not athletic. He is a number one pick, but his game is a little more craft, and Ivey comes in, can play off the ball, but his skill is also an insanely quick first step and an ability to blow by guys. I think eventually that they combo, or they pair really well together. They are going to, they drafted a center, but they obviously have a lot of money. If they bring in DeAndre Ayton, suddenly that's a young and kind of interesting team, Dan.
Yes, it is. You got to downgrade the odds a little bit of them going after Ayton after trading for the number 13 pick, Jalen Duren, center from Memphis. Still possible. I wouldn't rule out Ayton personally, but also I wouldn't like Duren enough to go get him in that draft slot. So if they like him on that level, guessing that probably means no Ayton, but maybe that means somebody like Miles Bridges. Detroit still has that cap space to go after somebody and upgrade this young core. Maybe it's Jalen Brunson. Different options out there. I'm with you. I love Jaden Ivey's fit with Cade Cunningham, because Ivy's got this great first step. He can just attack the basket. Well, Cunningham with his shooting is going to provide some space, and Ivy has such a long way to go as a floor general, as seeing, you know, as his court vision and making those passes. Yeah. He doesn't need to be a great passer because of the attention he's going to draw with his quick first step, but he needs to be a good enough passer. He's not quite there. So I think the two of them can play off each other real well. I'm curious in the long run, you know, who's considered more of the point guard? Who's considered more of the shooting guard? It really could be more of an old school balance situation, like two combo guards. But I think this is a situation where it could work.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The only reason this fell into Detroit's lap is because the Kings took Keegan Murray, number four, who is another player I have high on this list of really good fits.
Yeah.
The difference is I had Ivy way ahead of Murray on my draft board, or at least a tier ahead of Murray, like a good amount. I think Murray was a reach. I would not have taken him there, but I do acknowledge he's a very good fit in Sacramento. The Kings could use a nice, strong forward who can step in, shoot threes, defend his position. I wouldn't have taken him there. I think it was a mistake, but at least the fit is right.
Yeah, especially when you consider that he's playing off of De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. That's kind of what he did at Iowa, right? Iowa's a bit of a system program, mm-hmm. right? Like a lot of off-ball work, a lot of movement off the ball, a lot of cutting. Mike Brown comes in as coach from the ultimate off-ball movement team in the NBA, one of them certainly. Quinn Snyder's Utah might have been up there, but Golden State is known for their work off the ball and finding these cuts and playing this high IQ game. And I think, like you said, I think just the fit is really good. I still think talent wins out, man. Like, talent wins out, and I'm with you. I would have taken Ivy over Murray, but I'm for a Sacramento team where these, if not outwardly stated, certainly inwardly stated goal is to make the playoffs next year. Keegan Murray's he's a guy who can come in and play a role at the very least for you. Like, he's going to get minutes and help them. So I'm with you. It's not the guy I would have taken, but the fit makes sense.
Would you have taken Ivy? I mean, it's a little scary because that would have been a bad fit. To me, that would have been, okay, I get it. That's probably the guy I would take because the talent is there. And again, I'm leaning more toward the talent, but and I'm not worried about Davion Mitchell. I don't think Davion Mitchell is nearly good enough to pick around. But De'Aaron Fox is a pretty good player, and I don't think Ivy and Fox fit together at all. And so you'd have to figure that out. I'd rather figure that out than have Keegan Murray. But is Ivy who you would have taken?
Yeah, and I'm with you on the fit, but the way we've seen he came on a little bit at the end of last season, but the way Fox plateaued at points, I'd rather either push him because he's now – feel somebody coming for his job, or if he's just not that guy, maybe Ivy can pass it. I would, like you said, I would rather have two guys really good at doing the same thing and figure it out than take a lesser player. But Murray could be very good. We'll see it's always a crapshoot with this stuff, right? Like, we're all like, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. And then, you know, talk to us in 3 years and, you know, I remember I went back and praised people for, hey, man, that's moving up to get Markelle Fultz. That was a really smart move. You're wrong sometimes.
Yes. And really, the guy I would have taken as the Kings is Shaedon Sharpe, who ended up going 7 to the Trailblazers. I'm really high on him, but I don't have all the intel there. It is a little scary to take somebody who sat out a year. But what I saw from him, where he left off when he was last playing, I'm so excited by his game. And I did downgrade him a little because of those concerns. I do have a few more guys who are good fits, and I want to hear if you have anybody else who's a good fit after that. But I'm going to tell you right now, I really just think this draft lined up well, where teams generally got players who fit well into their system, and that's probably because they overemphasized fit more than I would have. I don't think it's just like luck that it worked out that way, but I do want to hear, I don't know if I have a name of somebody who doesn't fit well. There's some picks I didn't like because I'm not sure the talent level was in the right spot. But just in terms of fit, I don't have any that I hate. So I'm curious if you do. But first, let me give you a few more that I think are really good fits. Dyson Daniels went to the Pelicans at number 8.
Yes.
And Jeremy Sochan went to the Spurs at number 9. And both of them are question mark shooters. They bring other things, length, versatility, defense, some passing. But they need to develop their shooting to become really good NBA players. Well, the Pelicans and the Spurs are probably the two best teams at developing shooting. So I think that's great. Mark Williams went to the Hornets with the number 15 pick. He's a massive center out of Duke. Don't like the pick there in terms of the value, but the fit is right. The Hornets need a big man. He can catch and finish lobs from LaMelo Ball. He'll provide some rim protection that they badly need. And then the last one I added the first round, I'm going to combine this one with the one in the second, is for the Warriors, Patrick Baldwin. Not super high on him. I had him rated a little lower as a mid to upper second round pick. He just might not be athletic enough to last in the NBA. But in theory, he's tall and can shoot and needs the environment, the culture, the professionalism, the tenacity that the Warriors can instill. I think if there's a chance for him to work in the NBA, this is the right spot. And even in the second round, the Warriors bought the number 44 pick to get Ryan Rollins out of Toledo. And I've said I think this draft is similar from about 20 to about 45, which isn't so great for the guys in the 20s, but it's pretty good for the guys in the 40s. And I think the Warriors got real good value by buying in there and getting a player that late in the draft. So now I'm going to turn over to you. Do you have anybody else who stands out to you as a particularly good fit? And do you have anybody who's a bad fit? Because I'm struggling on that one.
No, I was going to say you stole my one guy with Williams. I really ended up liking San Antonio's draft because there's such a good player development program. You know, they've done such a good job with that. And like you said, at number nine, they take Jeremy Sochan out of Baylor. Way down at 20, they got a guy I was sneaky high on just because he can shoot the rock, which is Malachi Branham out of Ohio State.
Me too.
Branham. I like Branham. Now you've put those two guys in that Spurs system, their development program with, you know, well, Popovich for now and whoever takes over after Popovich, Quinn Snyder. Whoever's whoever, but I mean, whatever happens next, you're not going to really change who the Spurs are. I think they're kind of ingrained. I think both of those guys end up being classic Spurs players. Where I don't know how much we see of them this year, but in 3 years, we're like, man, that was a good pick. Like they bring them along a little bit slowly, give them a little bit of time, and give them more time and as they can handle it, and they'll thrive. So I thought this was a smart draft by the Spurs.
As did I, and I'll throw in one more. With the number 25 pick, they got Blake Wesley, who I was also out of Notre Dame. I like his potential on both ends of the floor. He really moves well. It's like he glides on the court. He gets where he wants very quickly. I think his defense is ahead of his offense. The Spurs do have a lot of shooting guards now, and I don't know how they're going to sort this out. They've got Wesley. They've got Branham. They have Devin Vassell from prior year. They got Josh Primo last year. It's a lot to sort out. I don't think that's a bad problem because none of these players are sure things. Even the ones who were there before, they haven't proven to be sure things. But you get a bunch of players who seem like they have good talent, the good makeup, are in a good system for growing and learning. You give yourself a chance for them to figure it out.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right. I've tried to warn you. I tried to give you all the chances to come up with somebody. Do you have any bad fits?
Not really. I'm curious how AJ Griffin fits in with Atlanta. Look, he can shoot, and they can always use shooting, or especially around Trae Young, you know, kicking out. But I also thought they needed defense, and they didn't necessarily lean that way. We'll see. Griffin has the tools to be a good defender. They just they got to work there.
Yeah, I'm curious because he's had some health problems going back to high school.
Yeah.
And so if he gets healthier, I can see his defense. He's got the good size for it. He's got the strength. He's just not as agile as you'd like. So is it because of those health problems and it's going to be a long-term thing or even a permanent thing, or can he get past that? Yeah, I'm with you there defensively. That is a question mark.
Yeah, so but I'm with you. I didn't go through this. It was funny. I was trying to put together winners and losers for our post, and they're like, my losers. I don't think there was a team. I always feel weird saying that was a terrible pick, because rarely. I mean, sometimes we do know when the Cavaliers are picking number one and it's not Kyrie or something. We know, but in general, like, I tend to think you deserve a chance to let guys do it. But I think Knicks fans were unhappy early on, which is always entertaining. And then this draft didn't have – I think there was a sense, especially running up and with everything with Kyrie in recent days, that there would be more chaos. And there just – there really wasn't. It was like, you know, we didn't see Rudy Gobert get traded. We didn't see – I was sure John Collins would get traded tonight. John Collins is still a member of the Hawks. I'd still be shocked if he is tomorrow, you know, when the season starts, but we didn't see some of the trades that I expected.
The biggest name current player to get traded, I believe, was D'Anthony Melton.
Yes.
From the Grizzlies to the 76ers for the number 23 pick. I really like that trade for the 76ers. I think Melton fits well next to James Harden. I'm assuming James Harden is going to be back. Never should assume, but seems to be trending that way.
He and Kyrie are going to go form a team somewhere.
Maybe they get traded for each other. Lots of things possible. I just think Melton, he's a defensive first guard is maybe a little more point guard size, but doesn't have all the point guard skills. So you're going to have Harden running the offense from the perimeter in Philadelphia anyway. Melton can play off the ball and contribute in more subtle ways and take on that tougher defensive assignment, a lot like Patrick Beverley when Beverley and Harden were together on the Rockets. So I like that fit a lot for Philadelphia. For what it's worth, I didn't really like David Roddy as the number 23 pick for Memphis. The Grizzlies also picked Jake LaRavia from Wake Forest, number 19, much higher than I had him. I've got athleticism concerns about both, especially LaRavia. Maybe it works. I'm with you on,
Roddy, by the way, I'm sneaky high on Roddy, and maybe it's just because in the finals we watched Grant Williams.
Yeah.
I think that's the
hope.
Idealized comp for him. Yeah, the hope. He's got to prove he can be that guy because he's not there yet, but he can shoot the ball. He's got the long wingspan. He's physical. Like, there's some hope that he could be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can squint and see it. I think sometimes it's too easy to get caught up in a comparison of, like, that involves the best case scenario. But sure, that's
possible. Yeah, is the best case scenario for sure.
Another one that I'm not super high on, I thought Johnny Davis to the Wizards was too high for him. It's not a huge fan of Davis's game.
I think what caught me with that one is that, and as I was trying to write it up, I'm like, he's kind of a point guard, but he's not really a pure point guard. I mean, maybe you think he can be a floor general point guard in the NBA, but I'm with you. I'm not sure that was a fit I loved or the guy I would have taken there. Let's put it this way. I'm happy for Johnny Davis that he got his Taco Bell commercial, because I'm not sure he's going to play well enough to get those kind of commercials in the future.
Yeah, I see him as a shooting guard, so I guess maybe this is the closest one to where the fit isn't good. Obviously, the Wizards have Bradley Beal, are probably planning to still have Bradley Beal. I like Davis's intangibles. He played really hard while carrying a big load offensively at Wisconsin. Not everybody does that. We just talked about that being an issue with Paolo Banchero defensively. But I'm just, I'm not sure his shooting is good enough. I'm not sure he can drive to the rim. I don't think he is the rare player who's going to get by as a mid-range player and shoot efficiently enough that way.
Oh, another fit I liked, by the way, and we'll see if it pans out, but I'm not super high on Walker Kessler out of Auburn, but Minnesota taking him to make him a backup five.
Or starting five. Next to Karl Anthony Towns.
Are you saying Karl Anthony Towns is a four?
Well, I'm saying that.
Much like Tim Duncan was a four?
Yeah, well, Karl Anthony Towns is a super talented player. He has been nowhere near good enough as a defensive center to win with in the playoffs. Nowhere close. And there's going to be problems that come with moving him to power forward if that's what you do, but that might be the lesser of two evils. Because I do think the Timberwolves are too far down the road of building with, I almost said around, but I think they're probably building around Anthony Edwards now. But building with Karl-Anthony Towns is their number two and has been their number one guy, you know, as a franchise centerpiece. So if you have him, and he's got great talent, like I'm not just trying to dump him by any means. And if you're building around him, I don't know, it might be better off with him as a power forward.
I can't believe you didn't mention D'Angelo Russell as one of their core guys. I don't know. Dan.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Kessler and Towns, let's just say Kessler pans out. Because I'm actually fairly high on him. If he doesn't pan out, he doesn't pan out. It doesn't matter. But let's just say he becomes, you know,
the rim protecting big man.
Yeah. Right. What do you think of him as a pairing with Towns?
It could work. Kessler is not going to space the floor, and the way Anthony Edwards slashes, I don't want him clogging the lane.
Yeah.
But let's put it this way. It's certainly something you can experiment with because town certainly spaces the floor. So you still get some of that. So you can slot him. You can slide Kessler into the dunker spot and let him finish lobs. And so maybe it does work. You know, you'd have to see it, but that's why there's 82 games, Dan. It's not just to make money. Well, it's mostly to make money, but it's also like for coaches, it's a chance to experiment and try stuff. And see, you've got especially Minnesota with Finch, I think you have a pretty creative offensive mind.
Yes, yes. Even a decent outcome for the Timberwolves might be, all right, Kessler is not perfect there, but he's good enough to show the Timberwolves how it works with Towns and another center. Like, do you want to go find one? Because, all right, use the 22 pick or 21st pick, whatever it was, 22, to get somebody. That's much cheaper than trading for Clint Capella, for example, on his contract.
You know that they're serious about thinking about this, not just because they drafted Kessler, but there are actual conversations about Rudy Gobert, who is the ultimate version of the defensive rim-running center right now. I don't see how Minnesota makes that work financially. Like that's just too big a contract. For people who don't know, Gobert's got like – I think it's 4 years, 140 left, $140 million. He makes a lot of money. But that they're having that conversation makes you think that they're thinking they need whether it's a defensive four or defensive five, they need a rim protecting guy in there.
And as far as Anthony Edwards, I hear you on clogging the spacing for his drives. It would be better if it's optimally spaced, but he is so talented. He's such a good driver. He can handle physicality. Maybe it's worth the trade-off of getting more defense on the court. Just telling Anthony Edwards, like, this is what we're paying you for. This is what we're expecting you to be, the type of player who can drive through a bit of a crowd anyway. It's not going to be a perfect setup for you, but you're so good you can handle it because we need to get a defensive player on the court.
I think we can safely say he would welcome that challenge. That he's willing to take on. He is not afraid to play in a crowd.
Was there anybody who fell, who surprised you, who you either because you expected them to go higher, just in terms of your sense of what the league liked, or because you personally liked them much more and they fell?
There was, and now I'm trying to go through my little list because by the time you get to this point in the night, you're like, they all blend. Who did I think dropped farther than they should have? And now going blank on the name. Oh, well, you know what it was? Dallas got Jaden Hardy in the second round. Mm-hmm. And really great handles, can create a little bit. There's a lot of questions still there. He's got to clean up his shot selection. But he took a step forward with the G League Ignite last year. And I just thought with his size and skill level, I just kind of thought he wouldn't 6'4" guard. I just thought he'd be gone earlier. I thought somebody would have taken a chance on him earlier. I think it's a good get by Dallas that late.
He and EJ Liddell out of Ohio State are two of the
Liddell's, the, yeah.
those are two players that I was very low on, and I can't believe the league generally was even lower. So yeah, those both surprised me. Hardy was not good, I didn't think, in the G League. I think he was really bad, but at his age, you know, that's not the end of the world. Like you said, he does have that skill set where, you know, I would have taken a chance a little bit higher. Ty Washington going 29 ends up going to the Rockets. I thought that was a little low for him. Guard out of Kentucky.
Yeah,
I just figured a guard out of Kentucky. Like, I'm not super high on him. If I didn't know where he played or any of that context, I probably would have had him around that range, maybe slightly higher, but around that range. But I just gave him a bump because he's a guard from Kentucky. And how many times do we have to underestimate them and that system to believe there's something there?
Tyler Hero, Tyrese Maxey, Emmanuel Quickly, Devin Booker. Booker went a little higher, but like all outperformed their that's the ones off the top of my head who outperformed their draft standing out of Kentucky. There's something about the guards there and the way Calipari uses them that just holds them back.
And honestly, I think it's other positions too. I don't think Bam Adebayo got to show his near full complement of what he could do. I don't even think Karl Anthony Towns, he ended up going number one, obviously, but I don't think he came close to showing all that he could do at Kentucky. I just think whether it's a combination of players developed so well there and they're prepared for the pros or are curtailed in some way, a lot of Kentucky guys outperform their draft slots.
Yeah, you absolutely. And Ty could be the next one there. And by the way, again, that's a good pick in terms of, hey, does Houston need more guards? Not necessarily, but if he's your top guy on the board, take him, figure it out later.
Yep. Yep. And they even traded to get him there. So many trades. I believe they actually traded down to get him there. So
yes,
it was,
they did. They
yes.
Did.
This Knicks trade, the Knicks made, it sounds like two trades can get combined. I don't know what the exact number to put on this trade is. It could be more than two. Could be less than two. But there was a trade or trades involving the Knicks. They ended up trading their own pick, which was number 11 to the Thunder. That's Usman Jang. And they got three protected first-round picks. And then to make it a bigger deal or a second deal, the Knicks, to dump Kemba Walker's salary, clear some cap space, sent Kemba Walker to the Pistons and roped in Charlotte. And the Pistons get Jalen Duren with the number 13 pick. What do you think of that trade for the Knicks? Because they're the big market team. But if you want to add any thoughts on the Pistons, Hornets, and even Thunder, love to hear them.
I thought, first off, I think Duren could be a good get for Charlotte at that
for point. Detroit.
I mean for Detroit. And another look, we discussed it earlier. They might go after for Detroit. Sorry. They might go after DeAndre Ayton. I still expect they will, but Duren could be 6'11", could be the center of the future. Those, you know, big men develop a little slower. He's probably of the rim running type. I don't know that he's going to be a floor spacer, but I thought that worked for them. The Knicks cleared cap space, which is one of their intended goals, because they want to go hard after Jalen Brunson, who everybody believes will re-sign in Dallas. But they started to clear out some cap space to make a run for him. So I don't think it was an out-of-character move for the Knicks. I'm just not sure it's the move I would have made necessarily.
Yeah, I like the trade aspect of it with the Thunder a lot. To get three future first round picks, and they're all protected, but the varying range of the protection, those could end up a decent group of picks. Oklahoma City is just so overflowing with picks that it's not the worst idea if you really like a player to combine some of them and overpay, and that's the Knicks' benefit. I don't like Usman Jang like that, but if the Thunder do, more power to him, maybe they'll be right. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But I don't love the aspect of turning around and using one of those picks in a way to unload Kemba Walker. I just don't know what the Knicks are going to be doing with this cap space. I like Jalen Brunson as a player. He's a fine player. I don't think he's changing the trajectory of the Knicks.
No.
I'd be far more encouraged if they were loading up on draft picks. I did not view this as a strong draft. I thought, as low as I was on the top group, I thought there was a big drop after the first seven players drafted. So if I can trade the number 11 pick for three future first round picks, even protected like they were, that to me looked like a home run.
Maybe I don't know what years they were. For people who don't know, people have been really protective of the 2023 picks because that's a potentially very good draft and very top heavy. If you've got high picks next year, nobody wants to give them up because there's multiple potential franchise guys out there.
Yeah, so these were all protected enough to the point that you're not going to land. You can't land the number one pick and get Victor Wembanyama with them. One was from Detroit, one was from Denver, one was from Washington, with varying degrees of give or take lottery protection, but some different ranges depending on the year. And then one ends up going to Charlotte. Obviously, I think the Pistons had a sense that they could do this because that first round pick, that Bucks first round pick, they got in the Jeremy Grant trade with the Trailblazers that none of us thought was that good of a pick. That pick gets involved in this trade. The Pistons probably knew what that pick's value was with this trade.
I would agree. Yeah.
Are there any other aspects of this draft that you want to talk about that we haven't gotten to?
Not really. There were a lot of trades. I mean, there were a lot of trades, but it was, like I said, I just felt more lateral than what I think I expected coming in. I expected more kind of outside of Banchero going number one. I'm not sure what the shock value was, the surprise. And I thought there'd be bigger names on the move. So that said, I like you said, I think teams draft, it felt like they drafted pretty smartly. We may look back on this in 3 years and scoff at that idea, at least in a couple of cases. So we'll see.
All right. So that's it for the draft, but we do have to cover one last thing. You've gone this whole podcast without saying his name. I'm sure that's intentional, but too bad. Kyrie Irving, still on the Nets. Nothing here. I wonder with like the Knicks bid to open cap space, is it possible it's for Kyrie Irving?
I think they've got to be thinking about it, right? Because of the teams mentioned, I've heard there's mixed reports out there. I heard the Clippers were not that thrilled, or at least you were going to have to blow them away to get them involved. They like their team, and even though they have, in some ways, of everybody mentioned, that might be the easiest opt-in and trade to make happen, just because they're so balanced and have so many guys making around, you know, between 10 and 20 million, that it's not that hard to put this together. I'm not sure that they want to put it together. The Lakers would love to, I wouldn't even say love to put it together. Dan, they don't have a choice. Like, if they want to improve, like, their options are pretty limited. They should absolutely go after this, but I just don't know how you put the deal together. The Knicks are the ones who, I don't know if Kyrie wants to be there, but I mean, if you put them on that list, you can find a way to make this work in some way, and I think that they could use him a lot. So I still think ultimately he resigns. I still think this is just negotiations, but and a very public kind of game of chicken. But it's Kyrie. And if one guy was going to walk away from the money, if one guy was willing to play chicken like that, it'd be Irving.
I agree. I agree on both counts that he probably winds up with the Nets. But man, there is a lot of smoke around this, enough where I do think you have to take the possibility of him leaving seriously.
And again, I just don't think it's, you know, even people I've talked to around the league, aren't directly involved, and they're all like, man, I'd say this would get it done because this is just, it makes too much sense for them. They need each other. Like, it makes a lot of sense to pull this together. But it's Kyrie. Like, just nobody knows, right? Like, and I think somebody wrote this. It might have been, I don't know, Woj or Shams or somebody writing on this the other day basically said this too, and I've thought this. It's tempting to say there is no chance he'd give up $30 million and to play for the Lakers for $6 million. I don't know if it's no chance with Kyrie. Like, I don't think it's a big chance. I still don't think he's – I think he might be a little – out there, but I don't think he's stupid. I don't think he's leaving $30 million on the table. But it's, in his case, is it totally off the table?
I mean, there's no question Kyrie Irving giving up $30 million to go change teams. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. And I don't even think he'd do that. I think he wants to opt in at the very least and find a deal, which is the easiest way to make it work with most of these teams. But it's still, by the way, if you're the Nets and he opts in, do you have to play ball?
Not at all. You can trade him. You have complete control if he opts in. I don't know what the trade market is going to be. I mean, you can keep him and play out the year. I don't know if the Nets would hate that. They clearly don't want him on a long-term contract. Having him locked in for one more year, there are far worse things for Brooklyn. I don't think that's a bad outcome for them at all. His player option deadline is June 29th, so we're definitely going to watch for that. That's before free agency, quote-unquote, starts. But this is why it starts now. You alluded to the opt-in and trade. It's worth saying a sign and trade would hard cap whichever team gets him. And that's obviously a huge issue for teams like the Clippers, the Lakers.
The Knicks could get
maybe the 76ers. Right. Then the Knicks could do it that way. The Knicks may be able to open enough cap space to sign him directly. But an opt-in and trade does not trigger a hard cap. So this is going to play out early. It's going to play out before June 29th. A lot of Kyrie Irving's options will go away on June 29th. And so the whole process starts early. We are past the draft.
Are you suggesting there might be tampering? The teams and players are talking before the deadline?
I would never.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.